The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
To have you here. Just so you know, your first time here, again, welcome. I'm going to preach to you guys a series that we've already been 2 weeks into entitled Tomorrow. We knew that we were coming to Vista Lakes, and the Lord just began to speak to our church about the things that were in yesterday that we dreamed about that sometimes we forget about, but really God hasn't forgotten about. There are things that you dreamed about when you were a kid, or things that were spoken over your life that as you get older, you sometimes think, I don't know if that's for me today. And you begin to make a list of all sorts of things and reasons why you can't do it. Whereas God is looking at you going, I can't wait to drop it on you. Because it's something that I've had for you since you were born. And so we started with just a series entitled Tomorrow because we were declaring that God has something for us in our tomorrow. And the verse that we read was found in Joshua, where Joshua speaks to the people. He says, now get yourself ready, because tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders in your life. And we started there by saying, we have to realize that when God says something, it's my promise. Once God says something, I have to focus on what he said. And then after I focus on what he said, I have to declare what he said, because if I don't declare what he said, I won't focus on what he said. So if I can focus on what he said, I'll declare what he said, and then I have to observe and do exactly what he tells me to do. God promised the people of Israel in Joshua that everywhere your footsteps I've given you, all you have to do is be strong and very courageous. But he says, I command you to be strong and very courageous. He says, do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We walked through that text during week number one, and we said, now, God, you've given us things that have our name on it, but sometimes we chase things that don't belong to us. And we have to find what God has labeled for us, and that's the thing that we go after. We ended that first week by asking the question, well, it's good to know those things, but what if I don't know what to do? Because we can be in church, and we can hear really good Christianese, and I can preach to you out of the King James Bible, and you can leave here going, that was a great motivational speech, but you didn't give me anything practical. And so we left that first week going, well, what can I do to advance? Well, Joshua showed us. Joshua told the people, he said, now listen, I want you to sanctify yourself, set yourself apart, find a place where just you and God, because tomorrow God's going to do wonders in your life. And what Joshua was saying was, you need a certain time with God, you need a certain place with God, and you need to be intentional. That's the reason why he said, set yourself apart. He said, you need to move away from distractions. This is not about carrying your whole family. This is about you. Because tomorrow, everything that God spoke in your yesterday, it's coming to pass. He hasn't forgotten about it. You did. But tomorrow, the Lord is going to do wonders. He's going to blow your mind tomorrow. But before you go, you need to get time with him. And so we said that that is the basic step of really knowing where I'm going to advance to. We needed to give God a certain time, a certain place, and a certain intentional focus. Well, we said, well, Damon, what does intentional focus mean? Well, it meant that I have to have a strategy whenever I'm dialoguing with God. Because remember, I'm focusing on what he said. I'm declaring it, and I'm trying to obey. But Damon, I may not even know what I need to communicate. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives what we know as the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus actually made it a model. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I told the story that I worked 10 years in professional basketball. I started off as a little ball boy and then worked my way up to an athletic trainer. And right before the games, we would say, it's time for prayer. So everybody get together, we get in the huddle, and I grew up in church. So I'm like, I'm ready to throw down because my teams weren't good. And we needed miracles. Like seriously, like it's one of those ones where you know you're not good. So you're like, Lord, let the best player be injured today. Like I didn't want him to be, but I needed him to have like turf toe. Like, I didn't want him to lose a leg, but I needed him to have, you know, Achilles tendonitis, something that would keep him out just versus us. But they didn't want to pray that way because they were just being religious. So what they would do is they get all together and say, all right, we're bringing in guys. We need to pray. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name of the kingdom come. Had no power whatsoever. The reason why is because they were praying this as a religious tool. Jesus actually said, no. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you an intentional focus because God wants to advance you. So you need to have intentional focus. You give him a certain place, certain time, but you need to be intentional. So here's what he says. He says, the first thing is you need to connect with him relationally. He's dad. Our Father. It's on the screen. Our Father who art in heaven. Then he said, how be the name? You got to declare who he is. Your creator, your God. You can do amazing things. Boast about him. Make him feel like he is the God he is. So I say, your dad. I say, your name is great. And then I got to focus on really what his priority is. If you're like me, I go right into mine. I'm like, hey, Lord Jesus, I got this. Anything you want? That's how I pray. I immediately go to God with my request, and I forget about the fact that there are things that he's thinking about. Jesus says, here's what you do. You go to your dad first. So yes, he's creator. Yes, he's God, but he's relationally attached to you. So he's dad. So I walk up to him like, dad, this is what I need. And Jesus, like, talk to him like that. But even in the midst of him being dad, you have to realize that your dad rolls differently than everybody else's dad. Your dad created the world through his speech. So you got to say, you are the man for real. Like, no lie, you have the power to speak stuff and it happens. You're my dad? What? He said, go to him, but you talk about him as well. So you have to look around and you say, I got a roof over my head. You're my provider. You do it for me when nobody else will. I know I get my check from the job, but you actually gave me the job, so he's my supplier as well. I mean, that's what Jesus says, so he's giving him a model. But then after that, he says, he's thinking about something during the day. Are you aware of what he's thinking about? How many times do you and I take a few minutes in our day and go, what are you thinking about? Because here's his main priority. His main priority is not the fact that you and I will achieve our dream. Yes, he wants us to do that, but he wants heaven full. How many times do we pause and say, God, I thank you for the community of Vista Lakes. Every single person is going to have a relationship with you. Their dream's going to come alive. That's the reason why City Place Church exists, because we lived in North Carolina, but God showed us faces we couldn't see. And we moved our family to a place where God said, this is where I want you to be. And so there's places where God will have you. Maybe it's your job and it's a cubicle right beside you. And you know they crazy. God put you there on purpose. That's right. Cuckoo Fred. He's assigned to you because God's thinking about him. So God is always thinking about those, the lost. He's thinking about those in authority. I know sometimes it's hard to pray for your mayor. It's hard to pray for your councilman. It's hard to pray for your president. But Jesus is thinking about him. I know that's a little painful for somebody, but Jesus is thinking about that. And so we need to, because the Bible says to pray for those who have rule over you. Okay, so let's just keep going. Then he says, I have to declare my dependence. Lord Jesus, I have things that I'm believing for, but I know that you provide them. Then you have to get your heart right with God, because he wants to do something. But he says, now, if you aren't right, you're going to hit a roadblock. So Jesus says, forgive us our debts as I forgive somebody else. I love how he says it, because I can go, God, forgive me, and be totally angst over by somebody else. And he goes, I'm sorry, to go hand in hand. He goes, I forgive you. You need to deal with that first, and then I'll listen to the rest of everything you got to say. So I know that we spiritual, because, hey, I'm a spiritual person, and I can be mad at you and you won't even know it. Like, I could be mad at half of y'all this morning because I saw the way y'all drove in the parking lot. I'd be like, what? They better hurry up. And y'all wouldn't know it. And Jesus is like, I'm not even listening to you while you're on the front row, Damon. That's a scary thing. He says, I got to deal with both at the same time. So he says, yes, the forgiveness. You asked me. It's already done because Jesus took it on the cross. I got you. But you struggling with Fred in your cubicle next door. Notice I said that earlier. So Jesus says, you got to get all that out the way, because I got to deal with something. And then the next thing he says is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sometimes when we read that, we feel like, Jesus, are you going to lead me into sin? No. There's a spiritual battle against you. There is an enemy. There's a heaven and a hell. There's a Jesus who is the ultimate victor. And then there's a devil who has no power, but because he's been amplified, we think that he does. The reason why we amplify him is because really he is out to get you, but he cares nothing about you. The main reason why is he doesn't want heaven full. So he comes after you. He comes after stuff that he has no care for. He just wants to keep you distant. So what Jesus said is, you got some spiritual battles you need to face. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, now, the enemy's going to come against you, but I've given you just a tool that God has given us. And he says it's the armor of God. It's a belt, some shoes, breastplate, shield, helmet, sword of spirit, and prayer. So wear that every day because the enemy's going to attack you. When he does, he can't deal with you. Jesus said, as you're praying, don't forget your armor. Then the final thing Jesus says is, hey, don't forget that after you pray, to give him praise in advance. Recall God's ability. And that's where we ended last week's service, by just saying we've got a plan for prayer. And if I can follow that plan for prayer, then we'll advance. And we segued it to the story in Joshua, where we're going to pick back up today, where Joshua tells the people, tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders. And so he says, sanctify it. Wrapped in that sanctification, that setting apart, that thing, is everything that I just told you. Certain place, certain time, certain intentionality, how to pray. This is how I'm going to do it. And now he says, after you've done that, it's time to go. Tomorrow. He looks at him and says, you got 2 hours to get all this in because we're going tomorrow. The promise of God that you've been waiting for is in your tomorrow. You're going to wake up in the morning and it's go time. But before you go, get your time in with God. Because the season that you had where you were just busy in life, in this season, God's your priority. So we're not going to go and then give him our attention. We're going to give him our attention on this side. Then we're going to go. And I was amped at the end of last week's service. I was amped, just so you know. I'll be amped this week, too. Just I know my notes. So the Bible says that he tells him, he says, hey, y'all get ready. It's time to go. The people that prayed, they're ready to go. They wake up. It's Christmas Day for them because they've been waiting. So they wake up. Everybody's got their stuff. They're like, Joshua, we're ready. You're ready. Let's go. Did y'all pray? Did you pray? We're ready. Did you set aside time for God? We're ready. And so a million people gather all their stuff. That's what the story is. A million people got all their stuff. They got cattle. They got all their kids. Everybody's ready to go. And the story says that as they get ready to go, he says, now I want the people to get line up behind the priest. And the priest put the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And it says that they were walking and they came to the Jordan River. And as they got to the Jordan River, what would have been an obstacle in there yesterday was the first foundation of the wonder that God had promised for their tomorrow. Just so y'all know, I'm going to be passionate, not because I'm angry. So they carry the Ark of the Covenant, and the story says that the people are following behind God. It's a clear visibility in our story that says that if we let God lead us and we follow us, when we get to the obstacle, he will address it first. So it says that he gets to the Jordan River, and as he, I'm going to step up here just so y'all know, because I can see I'm moving around a little too much and being five foot nothing, I'm vertically challenged. And so it says, look, it says that they got to the Jordan River, and as soon as the priests were carrying God's presence step in, it says that the waters from towns far away create a dam, and the people start walking over, and the presence of God is in the middle. And we said last week that it's important that we have the effective presence of God. God is everywhere. He's right now, he's in Alaska, right? You know, he's in Europe. He's there. But the effective presence of God is on the move. His power is evident. You're allowing him to be himself. You're saying, do what only you can do. There's a difference between him being everywhere. Yes, he's everywhere. But you giving him permission to say, you're going for it first, and you're handling all this because you told me to get prepared yesterday. So the story says that he's in the middle, and a million people are walking by. Remember, because I told you the model of prayer, they're walking by going, I appreciate that, God. You do miracles. Oh, so great. That's an old school song. You are amazing. You pardon the Jordan River. So imagine the presence of God is here, and a million people are walking by. I appreciate that. We weren't going to be able to get over. A million people are walking by the presence of God. And the Bible says, and this is where we're picking up today. I'm catching you up in the chapter 4. It says that they all walk over. And as they're walking over, watch now, while they're advancing, he goes first. While they're walking through it, he's in the middle. While they're walking past him, he's there behind. So God will protect you in this new season. As you advance, he'll go first. As you're walking through it, he has the ability to be in the middle. And whether you're wondering if the issues of your past, the sin of your past, if it's going to follow you, it will try to follow you. But this time is different. At first, you ran. Hoping he was with you. Lord, I thank you that you're with me. And he's like, you never gave me a certain place, certain time, and you weren't intentional. I'll be here when you get back. But this time around, they've set themselves apart, and they're running. And they're running past him. Thank you. Good to see you. And then the little kids are like, oh, my God, I get to see the presence of the Lord myself. And they're just loving. That's the reason why we have City Kids. It's because we want your children to walk in the same wonder and power that you deserve. So they're walking by. Oh, my God. Hey, Timothy, that's the presence of the Lord. He's the one that opened it up. And so they're all walking by. And now they're looking at God and going, if he did that for my dad, he's going to be able to do that for us, too. I can't wait till I'm my dad's age. So they're walking by. Can you see what I'm saying? This is the reason why I love the scriptures. And so they're walking past. And it says that as they get over, the presence of God didn't move at all. So the Lord has the ability to go before you, be in your middle, and handle the end. Which brings me to the question. What do I do the day after tomorrow? Because I'm hyped about tomorrow. But when tomorrow becomes my today, what do I do about tomorrow? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great day. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your word. Challenge us. Let us leave here differently than the way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I wrote down. That the day after tomorrow will look like tomorrow based on what the Lord promised. The day after tomorrow will look like tomorrow based on what the Lord promised. What does Thursday look like if it's Tuesday and my expectation is sitting on Wednesday and I get to Wednesday and I'm wondering about Thursday? When he said, sanctify yourself for tomorrow, I will do wonders amongst you, he didn't say just that tomorrow. He said tomorrow. Because he told him in Joshua chapter 1, every place that your foot steps, I've given to you. I'm not conquering that much space in one day. So he has to say, sanctify yourself for tomorrow. So that leads me to believe that when he said, sanctify yourself for tomorrow, that means that tomorrow is going to be what he promised me, which is going to be filled with wonder. So that means that when Wednesday comes and I'm looking forward to Thursday, on Wednesday I need a certain place, a certain time, a certain intentional focus. I've got to pray and celebrate because tomorrow he's got something else for me. So the day after tomorrow is filled with the promise of God that was for tomorrow. Y'all with me? Y'all can preach me down. I'm cool with that. So yet again, Joshua shows us that there are some keys to the day after tomorrow. And it's found in Joshua chapter 4, 1 through 3. And here's the first thing. When tomorrow arrives and God shows up for you, you must stop, acknowledge, and make visible what the Lord did today, which was your tomorrow, but will become your yesterday. That's a lot of words. So let me read it again. You have to stop and acknowledge, make visible what the Lord did today, which was your tomorrow, which will become your yesterday. You get it? I was looking forward to tomorrow. My tomorrow became my today. Tomorrow, it will become my yesterday. I have to stop. Here's what Joshua said. Joshua chapter 4 says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, the very place where I did my wonder. From the place where the priest's feet stood, the presence of God, where I showed up, You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. He says, listen, in times past, I did miracles and you forgot. You moved on to the next thing. You forgot about the fact that when you had a cold, I healed that little cold. Now, since you got a real serious doctor's report, it seems insurmountable. The reason why it seems insurmountable, because when it was small, you didn't remember. You didn't stop, acknowledge, and make visible what I did. See, sometimes you and I will take for granted the smallest things, but again, it makes who he is our reality. I know it's the headache, and we give credit to the, in my grandmother's old terms, the Anacin. So that was the old Bayer tablet. We give credit to the Tylenol and everything, and we say, ooh, I feel better. But man, if we would turn this thing on a dime and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to give you this quick little second. I got a little headache here. And I got to win Fred, because that's your priority. In order to win Fred, I got to think straight. You know, think straight. Sometimes it's the small things that will build into the large things, but we forget. Y'all with me? So God, this time he says, no, this is a different season. Yesterday, you forgot about all this stuff. Today, I clearly walked over in front of you. You walked over when I was in the middle, and I was covering you as you were walking past. This time, stop! Tomorrow, I have new wonders, but before we get to tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, before we get there, stop, acknowledge, and make visible. So he says, get 12 stones for each tribe, and you make it visible. And it says that he took the stone, and he didn't just say, put it back. Nope, they took it. And it says that they carried it on the shoulders, which meant that it was big, and they placed it in the place where they were lodging. So if you and I are going to think about the day after tomorrow and we're wondering what's going to happen, tomorrow is filled with the same promise that God gave you yesterday, because he clearly told you, tomorrow I will do wonders. There's no end date to that. But as we walk in our tomorrow and it becomes our today, and then when we get to our next tomorrow and it becomes yesterday, God says you need to stop, you need to acknowledge, and you need to make visible what I've already done. And so I want you to think through everything that God did for you this week. Did you have food on your table? Clothes on your back? Were you able to make it to your job? Don't let this week come and you don't thank him for that. Here's the next thing. When your tomorrow arrives and God shows up for you, you must realize others will ask you. You don't just need a story. You got to show them some proof. Our nation used to be a Christian nation. We used to say God did. Can't do that anymore. Now, our nation is filled with skeptics, because everyone compares other religious figures to Jesus, placing Jesus on an equal footing. Jesus is not on an equal footing. He's not on equal footing. And therefore, in order to distinguish the Jesus that I'm preaching about today, when he does something for you, people may ask, they won't believe you anymore with just your story. Nah. They want to see proof. Last week we showed a video of a young lady we were praying for. It's friends of our church. She gave birth to a baby, and while she gave birth, her body was filled with toxins in her blood, and it almost killed her. My friend Daniel sent out prayer requests. He was like, pray for my wife. A year ago, we lost our son premature. I need her. After she gave birth, her body was toxic. The baby was premature and was barely hanging on. He had people praying from all across the world. The news stations were covering it. People magazine, I think, threw up something just on their webpage. Last week, we showed a video of Janelle recovering. Yesterday, they posted on Facebook that Janelle is home. If they don't see that story, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Right now, millions of people will not be able to question what God did in Janelle's life. So much so, the governor of the state of Texas sent out on his Tweetagram, let's all come together and pray for Janelle. Millions of people in the state of Texas will now be able to go, I wonder what happened to Janelle. Because when God does something, we need to grab the memorial. We need to make it visible. We can't hide it. He put it all over social media. You cannot take away the fact that this is a real story. And God did it. People are going to ask you. You need to tell them, God brought me through. Don't be afraid to tell your story that you and your husband were on the verge of divorce. Grab that hand and say, we made it through. You need my help. I know we got jacked up stories. I got it jacked up. My family was jacked up. Jacked up. I can't even tell everything. Y'all will leave. Never coming back here. He's still in the middle. But where we are today, it's not where we were. People are going to ask. Today is not just your story. Jesus says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what he said in Revelation. But you got a lot of people who are like, I need to see your nail print. Show me where they crucified you. Because I heard you were back, but Thomas said, I need to see a little bit more evidence. And I know you're standing in front of me because you look like Jesus. But just in case, I need to see your hand, your side, and your feet. Here's what Joshua 4 says. It says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst, in each one of you, in each one of you. So take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come. Tomorrow, when they ask tomorrow, they'll ask tomorrow. When they ask tomorrow, notice how he said in the time to come. Tomorrow, they'll ask tomorrow. What did these stones do? You're going to have an answer. Because your kids going to ask because they walk by. Hey, Jesus, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Hey, what do these stones represent? Do you remember? I know you were only three. You may not remember. But when we walked through, you walked in the Jordan River. The same river where you do your motorized boat. You walked in the middle of that. Your God is amazing. So when your kids ask tomorrow, oh, that means that there's wonders assigned to them as well. There's wonders assigned to the people who are going to ask you about your testimony. They just don't believe yet. Y'all all right? All right, we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up. We're going to get you out of here. When tomorrow arrives and God shows you what he's going to do, you'll have to realize that the Lord does not soften up his miracles. It's the same intensity of yesterday. God promised it to you, and you were excited a few days ago, a few years ago, a few decades ago. You were running after it. And then something happened, and you wondered, and you're hearing me talk right now, and you're getting a little bit more excited, but you're like, maybe it'll happen this way. Well, he might do it this way. I don't even know if I really want to believe. I want to tell you that when the Lord does something for you in your tomorrow, the intensity of his power, he doesn't soften it. He doesn't like, well, you know, we're just working them back in. All of heaven, let's give him a three. Let's give him a three. What we're going to do is just going to give him a little food. No. They get to the Jordan River, and he's like, watch this. He says, watch this. Hey, let's do what we did for Moses at the Red Sea. Give him that right out the gate. He could have taken them around, but he brought them to the Jordan because he wanted them to be, oh, my gosh, only he can do it. There's no way I can handle this at all. He wants you to get no credit so his intensity stays the same the way he gave it to you years ago. When you were like, there's no way I can do this. Exactly. That's how he's going to have you thinking in tomorrow. So you get here and you're like, whoa, we just walked through. That was the same thing that I told you yesterday. He said, we're going to come out the gate heaven with the way we did it for Moses. They had the Red Sea separated. Ooh. Boom. He said, they've been dreaming about yesterday, and I'm promising it to them tomorrow. Watch this. He said, here we go. We're going to guide them to the Jordan. When they get to the Jordan, this is God talking. This is how I see it in my mind. They get to the Jordan. He says, watch this. Let's separate that too. Let's separate that too. Joshua, have the priest go in because I'm leading you now. I'm going to blow your mind. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. They step in and the same way. She knew I was going to do that. She must have sat in services before. I either preached this twice. I don't know. Yesterday. So here's what it says. It says, look, it says, and the priest, verse 18, came out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant. No sooner than they set their feet on dry ground that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. It was higher than normal. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from Jordan and encamped at Gilgal at the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones. Remember, he just said, I'm going to make it visible, that they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, your descendants shall ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, remember, we need proof. Israel crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan River before you until you crossed over it. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he did to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. This was so that you will know that the Lord is powerful. The intensity of your tomorrow is the same intensity of your yesterday. So whatever you felt like God didn't have for you, the intensity is at the same level. You've been dealing with the sickness and you prayed a few months ago, the intensity 2 months later is the same level. This time, before I get to the doctor, you go first. I'm not going in there first. You go first. I went in there first the last time, and the report I got coming out wasn't good. This time, you go first, God, because tomorrow is my appointment. And before I get in there, I'm going to give you the certain place, certain time, and be intentional. I'm going to pray for these lost people first because that's on your heart. After I pray for those lost people, I got my need. I got this doctor's report tomorrow. After I give that, Lord, I just want to make sure that everything in my heart is right. I'm not mad at Sally Sue no more. I'm telling you right now, because tomorrow I'm on the edge of my seat. And if I need to do battle right now with the devil, I'm letting him know. I'm going into this doctor's report tomorrow, and you're going to get busted upside the head because Jesus is going first, period. Sorry. I told you I was almost done. I like a little talk back, too. Y'all sound good. Here it is. Final thing, worship team, you can come up. It's important for you and I and our families to reside in a daily attitude of expectation. What does the day after tomorrow look like? It looks like the promise that was given to you yesterday that became your today, which was your tomorrow. And the only way that I'm going to live in a constant state of what's going to happen tomorrow is if my family resides in expectation, which goes back to week number one. If you said it to me, I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to do and observe. I'm going to give you a certain place, certain time, intentionality, because where I'm going, you're going first. My tomorrow will be my today because I'm residing here. My tomorrows of wonder does not end. What you do today, I'm going to acknowledge, I'm going to make visible, I'm going to tell somebody, I'm going to show them the scar that is now healed, I'm going to show them the dream that came to pass. But when I wake up tomorrow, what you got? What you got? Because every place that my foot sets that has my name on it, I'm advancing. And it's going to take surrendering. It's going to take surrendering. All that we are, all that we am, all that we are, all that we am. Yeah. It works, I guess. They add a few phrases every year to the dictionary. You am. Here's what I realize. That the day after tomorrow will look like tomorrow based on what the Lord promised. Here's the reason why. Hebrews 13:8 says this. Jesus is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says, for Jesus doesn't change yesterday in the message, today, tomorrow. Say it again. Jesus doesn't change yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's always totally himself. You worried about tomorrow? Jesus doesn't change. The same intensity that he had yesterday, he's got it today, which was your tomorrow. When your tomorrow becomes your today, he's like, I'm ready to go, you. I'm suited up, let's go. I'm ready to go before you. You gonna let me go? Jesus doesn't change. Your dreams, your desires, your needs, let him go first. Let him dwell in the middle. You walk past and say, I'm appreciating you today. You're doing amazing things for me. And as you're walking past, you don't have to worry about behind you because he's like, don't worry, I got you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go, no, 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 no. Go ahead. Keep advancing. I'm there too. I'm there. I'm already in your tomorrow. You go. You go. You go. And then it says, he steps out and he says, whoa, wait. Before we get to tomorrow, acknowledge, remember, and don't be afraid to tell people. Don't be afraid to tell people. Because what I'm about to do in your tomorrow is going to be intense. And when they finish chapter 4, God tells him, he says, now listen, get all your stuff together. I want you to go and position yourself next to Jericho. Because in the morning, we got some more territory. And he takes the men and he says, I need you to sacrifice some things. He says, but y'all gear up. Because what I did yesterday doesn't compare to what I have for you tomorrow. I love that. They crossed the Jordan River, but the next thing that they had was Jericho. Next week, it's going to be great. Next week, I'm going to be talking about how we have to circle.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.